what you say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What you say. That it's all for the best, of course it is. What you say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What you say. What did she say?
Today, we're going to continue our series, The Power of Words. Now, like I stated earlier, that for those of you listening online, we had so many people to baptize in the second service. I'm preaching this word in the first service, and so we're going to ask those who are in the second service to go listen to the podcast anytime this week. We'll post it online, and thank those who are listening. Thank you for taking time to do that. How many know that when our mouth is out of control, our lives are out of control? Anybody want to say that's true? The Bible's very clear about that. That's why the power of our words is such a powerful spiritual things that we can begin to apply to our life principle, the power of our words. The Bible says that life and death are found in the power of our mouth, the power of our tongue. And the Bible says when our mouth is out of control, that our life is out of control. It's a domino effect. And so to get to the root of the problem, we got to come back and say, God, begin to take control of my mouth. We've been sending this message over and over the last couple of weeks that the only way that we can get our mouth under control is by submitting our mouth to the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know this, let me tell you. The Bible says our mouth is so powerful. It's so powerful, and we can't control it on our own. By our flesh, we just can't control our mouth on our own. But we can control our mouth. It is tameable, but it only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. And the only way the Holy Spirit can work in our life is when we submit to it. When we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the only way we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. And so I've been saying that phrase a lot. I've been teaching you that a lot. So today, I want to take time to talk to you about receiving the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? And how do I go about doing that? And today, I want you to get right into learning how to receive the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it's going to be the first time you've ever heard someone teach and show you scripture about how the Holy Spirit is relevant in your life and how you can receive the Holy Spirit. Is it really something for us today? For other people here, you know this, you believe this, but maybe you need to learn and refresh on how to explain it to somebody else. If they ask you, why do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Oh, I just do. Well, you need to know why you do that. You need to be able to take someone through this. So I hope that you take notes today. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. And when we get done, anybody in this room, if you take notes, you can not only understand this principle, but you can explain it to somebody else very clearly how to receive and why it's important to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to fear, right? We don't have to fear any gift that God gives us. Let me say it again. We don't have to fear any gift that God gives us. Now, some people here today say, Pastor, I was taught that the Holy Spirit is woo, kind of out there. It's something that's kind of spooky, or it's something that, you know, was for the day of Pentecost and it wasn't for us today. You know, I was told not to touch that, not to go there. But let me just tell you today, I want you just to open up your mind. I want you to open up your heart. Let's just look at the Bible. The Bible is going to be very clear whether or not the Holy Spirit is for us today and how we can operate in that. But let me tell you this. You don't have to fear any gift that comes from God. The Bible says that he's not going to give us anything that's going to harm us. All of his gifts are for our benefit, for the benefit of the believer. It's for us to walk full of his power here on earth. And Christmas is coming up. Some of you went. How many want to raise your hands and say, I went Black Friday shopping? How many went out late at night, Thursday night, or went out early Friday morning? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. How many are like me? You like to watch videos of everybody being stupid, and I just stay home and watch it. How many say, I do it for my PJs and shop all online this year? Anybody? Yeah, some smart people right there. Okay. So we're getting ready for Christmas. One thing I know for sure, that you're not going to have wrapped presents for yourself, for your children, or somebody else. And you're going to leave one under the tree where everybody sees it and say, I think I'll just leave that there until next year. You're not going to say, I'm just going to leave that wrapped up there in the corner until next year. I don't want to open my gift. No, if someone's got a gift for you, how many know I want to unwrap every gift that's for me? Our kids want to unwrap every gift that's for them. We want to unwrap every gift that is for us. So why would we have a gift given to us by God Himself and we leave it wrapped up in the corner and never unwrap it because I'm afraid of that gift? I'm afraid of that gift. You know, I don't know. So we just leave it wrapped up there and we're fearful of opening that gift, you know. And what I'm trying to tell you today is this, that we do not have to fear the gifts that God gives to you and I. It's for our benefit. It's for our blessing. It's for you and I to walk empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we can walk full of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because if we don't walk full of the Holy Spirit in our life, our mouth is out of control. Our life is out of control. But when I begin to walk fully submitted to the Holy Spirit, then what happens? Then I walk in the power of who God's called me to be the most effective witness I can be. And that's my desire. I want God to use me, that I can be the most effective witness for God. I want to be His hands. I want to be His feet. I want Him to be in control of my heart, control of my mouth. And it comes through receiving and submitting the Holy Spirit in my life. So I'm going to give you three baptisms today, okay? The first two we're going to walk through pretty fast and spend most of our time on the last one. Number one, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. Now, Scripture teaches this in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Look what it says. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So what we're saying here is the Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. That when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we confess Him, the Bible says that when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we are saved, we believe this, that it's happening. What's happening is this, is that when this happens, the Holy Spirit is now taking you and baptizing you in the work of the cross. Jesus died for the sins of the world upon the cross, is what the Bible teaches us. All who believe in this are covered by the work of the cross. See, but how do you know you need Jesus? How do you know you need Jesus? Well, I heard you preach, Pastor. That's great. Some of y'all heard somebody else preach, or someone told me. That's great. That's true. Then why doesn't everybody give their heart to Jesus? If that's all it is, if people are hearing all the time, they need Jesus. How did you know you needed Jesus? How did you know you needed to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth? The Holy Spirit began to work in us while before we were even saved. When the word of the Lord is coming, there's something in our heart that connects with that. It says, that's me. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to confess that. I need Jesus in my life. I need to repent and ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. I need to submit my life to Jesus' Lordship. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit. Some of you didn't realize this, but the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you long before you were even saved. He was convicting us. He convicts us that we need Jesus and we need a Savior. So the Holy Spirit is already operating in our life, telling us, hey, I need to change some things in my life. I need to learn to do something. How many can say, man, I had a God encounter in my life. He changed me. He met me. Some of you, He met you on a workplace. Some of you, He met you at an auto auction. Some of you, He met you out at the food court. Some of you, He met you in your car. Some people met you on a walk. Some of you, He met you in a church. Some of you, He met you in your house. But I'm telling you, it was the Holy Spirit who was moving in your heart, speaking to your life. And you begin to be moved and convicted and knew that you needed a Savior by what the Holy Spirit was speaking and doing in your life. See, it's the Holy Spirit who baptizes me and us into Jesus. At salvation, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. On my own, I'm not good enough, right? On your own, you're not good enough. But the Bible says that we don't stand on our own, that when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, that we stand washed in the blood of Jesus, which covers and removes all of our sins. And now when the Father sees us, He doesn't see my sin. He sees the blood of His Son and says, this is my child. This is my daughter. They are part of the kingdom of God, and He welcomes us into the family of God, not based on our good works, not based on whether we're bad or good, but based on our covenant relationship with His Son Jesus and what He did on the cross for you and I. Someone need to give God a hand clap for that. Isn't that awesome? So we are identifying. The Holy Spirit baptized us with Jesus, and it's His blood that washes us clean. I'm not good enough. You're right, you're not good enough, and neither am I. None of us are good enough. It's only by His grace that we become. Now, after we're baptized into Jesus, the Bible talks about a second baptism. He says the disciples baptized us in water. The disciples baptized us in water. Look at this in Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So what we see happening here is that Jesus' last words, His last commands, He said all of His followers that were there, He was talking to His disciples, He was talking to His followers today. How many know today, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you confess Him as Lord of your life, you are a disciple, okay? You're a disciple today. You're a disciple of Jesus. You're a disciple of Christ. And so He's commanded us who are believers, He says, go and make more disciples and baptize them. And baptize them. And He was instructing them about water baptism. He was instructing them to go and to baptize others. See, Jesus was baptized in Matthew 28, 19. Jesus was baptized. How much more should you and I be baptized? The Bible says that John the Baptist was out there baptizing. You remember that? He's out there baptizing and Jesus walked up. And He baptized Jesus. It's a really awesome thing. We'll talk about that more in just a second. But Jesus was baptized. How much more should you and I be baptized? How much more should you and I be water baptized when Jesus was? See, water baptism, as I stated a little bit earlier, it's a public confession of your identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So, when I go under the water, I'm saying this, that my old man is dying. When I come out, I'm saying I'm being washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm resurrected a new man. Jesus was buried, but He didn't stay there. He rose again and was resurrected. So it becomes a public confession. Now, some of you here today, you say, I don't know if I need to be water baptized. I say, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? If Jesus was baptized, if He commanded us all to be baptized, why wouldn't you? You see, if you've never been water baptized, you're walking in disobedience. I'm not going to tell you you're going to miss heaven because we see in Scripture where you can be water baptized and you can go to heaven. But I'll tell you this, you'll never walk in the fullness of everything that God has for you unless you become obedient to what He wants for us. And so when we become do water baptism, we're stepping into obedience to what Jesus wants us to do. Some of you here today, you say, man, you're right, Pastor. I really need to do that. Well, let me tell you, the good news is this. We're going to baptize in the second service. So if you want to go home and grab some shorts and a t-shirt and get back over here for the second service, we would love to add you to the list. We would love to add you with the others who are being baptized today. You can do it. I live too far away. Well, good news. There's a dollar store right across the street down here to the right. Okay? You can go buy you a cheap t-shirt. If you can't do it, see Brian. He'll buy it for you. But we'll make it happen. Okay? Come and join. If you've never been baptized before, don't put it off. I dare you to put it out on Facebook. Join me at 11 o'clock at Destiny Church. I'm being baptized. Come and see me. I would love for you to do that. If you've never been baptized, we would love to baptize you today. We're going to spend most of our time on number three, the third baptism today. And some of you didn't know about it. Some of you never heard about it, but today you are, okay? Number three, Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Now look what John the Baptist had to say in Matthew 3:11. He was out there baptizing people, and he goes, John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. See, water is symbolic of repentance, but he who is coming after me, talking about Jesus, he goes, he's mightier than I am. Whose sandals, he goes, I'm not even worthy to carry. And he goes, he will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. So John the Baptist is prophesying as he's water baptizing people that there was one coming after him who was Jesus, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John the Baptist symbolizes the baptism of water. Jesus, now he's going to come, and Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, we see the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You hear people talk about the four Gospels. We talk about the Gospels. Well, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all chronologize the birth of Jesus and talk about his last year of ministry. But the book of John is the only book where John, he talks not only about the birth of Jesus, but he includes his first 2 years of ministry. And so we see a lot of similarities in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then you see some things in John that you don't see in the other parts of the gospel because he talks more about his first 2 years of ministry, and the others focus on the last year of Jesus' ministry. But all that in consideration, do you realize there's only four things that you can find in all four of the gospels? There's only four things that you can find in every single one of the gospels. These four things are the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're found in all four of the Gospels. All four talk about all four of these things. Let's see how John says it now. We don't have Matthew says it. And then, of course, Luke and John agree with that same thing. Now, John says it this way in John 1:33. I don't know him. John the Baptist said, I don't know him, but he who has sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And we see this playing out. And when Jesus was baptized, you remember this? When Jesus was baptized, John was looking out and he goes, I seen the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove. And he didn't say a dove descended on him. He said the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. So he's painting this picture that the Holy Spirit began to rest upon Jesus. And what he also said was this, and it began to remain. It remained. That's important because remember, up until this time, the Holy Spirit would come and move on certain people in Scripture, prophets and kings, Samson, people like this that God was using, that the Holy Spirit would move upon them and they would do something mighty for God. God would use them for something great, but it didn't remain with them. And this is the first time we're seeing where the Holy Spirit came, descended, and now remained with him. And John says he prophesied and said, the person who the Spirit falls on and remains on him, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Are you following us? Well, Pastor, he was talking about the water. No, John was talking about water. John says, I baptize you with water. But he goes, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Two very separate things. I don't know. Yeah, we're going to show you, because I know some of you are doubting Thomas is in the room. We're going to show you now. We're going to look at Scripture and be able to see and clarify very clearly that the Bible talks about that there was two separate baptisms, that John baptized with water and the disciples baptized with water and then Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing that we see running throughout the whole Bible from the Old Testament through the New Testament. If you don't realize, even in the Old Testament all the way through the last of the Bible in the New Testament, we see the same thing of salvation, water, and the Holy Spirit. Salvation, water, and the Holy Spirit. Salvation, water baptism, and the Holy Spirit baptism. It's the same thing. It's a theme. It goes throughout the whole Bible. Look what Acts 1:4-5 says. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But to wait. Jesus said, wait for the promise. So Jesus said, I want you to wait. There's a promise coming your way. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water. This is Jesus' words, okay? Not John the Baptist. This is Jesus' word. Jesus said, John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus now, John the Baptist tells about it. Now Jesus comes into agreement with it. It says, John baptized in water, but now I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Two separate things happening. He says, I want you to wait for the promise. Why would you have to wait for the promise? If you accept the Holy Spirit, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the minute you're saved, then why would he tell you to wait for the promise? I'm telling you, it's two separate things that God wants to happen in our life. Look what Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 39 say. Now remember, after this, the day of Pentecost happens. The Holy Spirit descends upon them. They begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. And people are like, man, those people are drunk. Remember that? They're like, those people are drunk, man. And then finally Peter steps up and goes, listen, no, they're not drunk. Listen, you're going to miss it. They're not drunk. I'm telling you, what's happening is this, that the Holy Spirit's being prophesied about, what John the Baptist talked about, what Jesus said would happen. This is it. This is the promise from the Father. And he begins to tell them, and all of a sudden they get convicted. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And so Peter said to them and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, listen now, they're asking this. Now, what do we do? Okay? We believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We believe he's no longer in the grave. Now, the day of Pentecost is happening. Now, the Spirit's being poured out. And they're like, we want to do what's right. How do we do what's right? How do we fall into line with this? And look what Peter tells them. Repent, and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. So he wants you to repent. He wants you then to be water baptized. And then he says, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children. Yes, I told you, Pastor. It's just for those in that day. It wasn't for us. But then, no. Look what he says now. And to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. When you translate this out, it's saying from generation to generation to generation to generation, the promise of God is for you and I. The promise of God is for you and I. Look at this next statement here. I want you to see this. I want you to really get this today. We got to realize this, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has not expired. It hasn't expired today. It wasn't a one-time thing. And now it's not for the church today. It's not for us today. Today, I know there's a lot of people who are afraid to teach you the full Bible. But today we're going to teach it to you because you need it. I am cheating you. I am stealing a blessing from you if I don't teach you and share with you that God is wanting to pour out the Holy Spirit into your life. You're walking at a level that you're not walking at if you're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not expired. It's for us today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for us today. It has not expired. Peter begins to say, repent. Then he tells them, be water baptized. And he says, then receive the promise of the Holy Spirit for every generation. Today, if I go to Brian and say, Brian, I just want to give you my watch here. Here's a gift. And I take it off and I give it to him, my watch. But I gave him my band, and I take the piece in the middle that keeps the time, and I put it in my pocket, and I give him the band. Did he receive the full gift? Why? Because I kept part of it for myself, right? I didn't give him the full gift. Today, this is what I want you to receive today. God has the full gift he wants to give every one of us today. Stop just operating in one and two. No, he's got the full gift of repentance, of water baptism, and the full gift of the Holy Spirit he wants you to walk in. He wants you to experience for your life. He wants to change your life, and it's changed through the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Don't be afraid of any gift that God has for us. We should desire every gift God has for us. If God's got it for me, I should desire it. I should begin to seek it on my own. I should say, God, I want any gift you have for me. We never have to fear God's gifts. Well, Pastor, that's just a one-time thing. No. Look at Acts 8:12, a whole different time, a whole different place. But when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things, this is not Peter now, this is Philip. When they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were what? Baptized. Simon himself also believed, And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. He was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to come and teach us as well. And so Peter and John, they go there. Look at this next verse. Peter and John, they go there and they begin to preach. And he says, who, when they had come down, prayed for them and said, now you might receive the Holy Spirit. So they asked Peter and John to come. Peter and John come there, begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they began to pray that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. So when Peter gets there, what happens? They had repented. They prayed for them. But until this time, all they had experienced was water baptism. And so he begins to pray for them. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing? It's different. It wasn't just a water baptism. They already had the water baptism. And so they prayed, they water baptized, and then he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Again later in Acts chapter 19, whole different time, whole different place. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Look at them. They said to him, we have not as much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Some of you can identify with that today. Pastor, I've been going to church all my life. Well, I've been in church for a long time. I never even heard the Holy Spirit was for my life. I thought the Holy Spirit was just Jesus and, you know, kind of God's Spirit out there. But I never heard that I was supposed to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit. They said, we haven't even heard. I'm not going to ask you how many people were raised in that church. Don't raise your hand. good people. But man, listen, if you haven't heard this, you're being robbed. You need to know that, man, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every one of us. And he said to them, and to what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized you with repentance into water, saying to people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So they repented, then they got water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Three different steps. Are you seeing this? They repented, they got water baptized, then they received the Holy Spirit. Three different steps. It's all there. Look what 1 John 5:7-8. Look what it says. For there is three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. In heaven, these three bear witness. He goes, there's also three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, the blood. I mean, it's there. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the water symbolizes baptism, and then the blood symbolizes what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. These are the three things that bear witness here on earth. The Holy Spirit, water baptism, and repentance through the blood of Jesus. Look at this, that's salvation. At salvation, we become a new creation. The Bible says that the old things become old, pass away, and all things become new. That we receive a new heart, right? At salvation, we become a new creation, a new person. At water baptism, we are symbolizing that we're burying the old man and we're coming back up in that new creation that God has created and destined for us to walk in. And in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive the power to walk out in this new man. See, isn't it amazing? He didn't just give us a new heart. He didn't just say you're a new creation, but he also gives us power to walk in the new creation, to walk in the new man. Is a light coming on for you today? Are you receiving this word today? So the question is, do you struggle with the old man? Do you struggle with your mouth being out of control? We need to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again in case you didn't get it. We need to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To go to heaven, I need to repent. The Bible says that the thief on the cross, in his heart, he repented. He says, you are the Messiah. This man has done nothing wrong. And Jesus looked at him and said, today, you're going to get off the cross and go get water baptized, right? No, he didn't do that. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. So we know that water baptism in itself does not save us. But if you have a chance to be water baptized and you haven't, you're walking in disobedience. And you need to do it out of obedience. Jesus did it. We need to do it. It's a part of the thing that God has set up. Yes, I accept Jesus. Yes, I now publicly identify through water baptism with Jesus Christ. And then the third step is we learn to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. One last example, and then I'm going to close this message out. Look at this last chart. We can find the chart of in the Old Testament. You see the chart of the tabernacle that God laid out and told Moses to set up. They had the front door of the tent, remember? And after you got to the front door, you had to stop at the altar, and you had to do your sacrifice. They sacrificed the lambs, remember that? And it symbolizes what? The blood of Jesus. Then they went to the next station, they had to wash up. They have a lavender water, and they would wash their hands and wash off. The water symbolizes what? Water baptism. And then they had to take another step, and then their heads were anointed with oil. And we see in Scripture the word oil is always used as symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And then they were created to be able to say, they were looked at as clean, and they could walk into the place of the holiest place, the presence of God. Now, God set this up way back with Moses, way back with the children of Israel. He said, you got to come into my presence. It comes through the blood of the Lamb, the washing of your hands, water baptism. Receiving your head anointed with oil, symbolic of being anointed by the Holy Spirit. And then you can walk in the fullness of God's presence. Are you following me today? I mean, it's so clear. See, when the light comes on, it's so clear. This is not just a one-time occurrence. It was a pattern set up from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament that God wanted you and I to walk in the Holy Spirit. He wanted you and I to walk submitted to the Holy Spirit. He wanted you and I to walk and say, God, I want you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I want you to fill me in the Holy Spirit. God, I want you to do something in me. I want the Holy Spirit to come fresh and anew in my life. I want you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I simply want to ask you this question. If you hear and say, Pastor, I've never said the words of asking Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's where you start, okay? And we want to make sure you have that chance today. If you're here and you never confess, you believe in your heart, but you never confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, and today you're ready to do that, we won't do anything to embarrass you or to single you out. Best of today, can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This is where I start. Come on, raise your hand. Bet you I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else today? You want to raise your hand? We're going to say this prayer together. If you raise your hand, I want you to say it after me. And today, as Christians sitting around you, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I confess I need you as Lord of my life. I submit my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. Thank you for your grace and love in my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand. Stand on your feet this morning. Today, if you're here, we got just a few minutes. We're going to close the song. I want to invite you to come to the front. You say, Pastor, I want the Holy Spirit to fill me fresh and anew. I want a fresh pouring of God's Spirit in my life. I want to submit my life fully to the Holy Spirit. Can you join me around the front today as we close the song? And say, I'm stepping out and say, God, I want a fresh outpouring in my life for the Holy Spirit in my life. I want God to fill me fresh and anew. I need it. I need it in my life. And today I'm saying yes. Today I'm saying yes to that. I'm stepping out and say, God, I want to operate in all three areas of my life. As you do, just step in, make room to the back, those coming in behind you. As we step out and say, God, we're ready today. Come on, let's sing this about Jesus. Let's declare his power in our life. Come on, Pastor Joe. I want you to know it's only the Holy Spirit that can take you to that next level. It's only the Holy Spirit that can cause you to walk and operate that next level. Randy, I'm reminded today of Shelley. Because when she came in, the first time she ever heard me preach about the Holy Spirit, she came to me with tears in her eyes. She goes, "Pastor, I've been in church all this time, and I knew there was more." And she goes, "I knew there was more." Her life began to come on, and the Holy Spirit began to fill her life. And her countenance changed. Her spirit changed. I'm telling you, when you understand there's more that God wants to do in your life, that God, you can operate and walk in a new power and a higher anointing. Your mouth begins to get used by God. Your mouth becomes under control by God. God begins to use you to speak words of healing instead of words of destruction. God uses you to speak words of encouragement instead of discouragement. God brings peace to come out of your mouth, healing in your hands. I'm telling you, God wants us to learn to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life, every day of our life. And today, if you believe that, I want you to put your hands together. God, I thank you for that in my life. God, I want to do that in my life, in Jesus' name. Now, some of you, if you want to be baptized, run and grab your clothes. Come back and let us know. Say, "Hey, that's me. I'll be back. I'll be back. I want to be water baptized. It's important today. We'd love to have you join us. We're going to baptize several in the next service, okay?" God bless you. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, "It was good to be with you in the house of the Lord today." God bless you.